Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. I say God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm excited for what God has for us. It's good stuff. I said it's good stuff. Praise the Lord. God loves us greatly. He loves us so much that he's given us so much that we can flourish. Praise the Lord. And of course, we decide whether or not we're going to. Praise God. I just wanted to say in the before service, my brother Aaron back there shared a testimony of something that happened for them that was really good. Praise the Lord. And I'm not going to share the whole testimony, but I will say this, it benefited them. Amen. But what I wanted to share more than that was as we're in worship, Aaron, the Lord showed me and reminded me, it wasn't too long ago that he directed you guys to come to the Mayville Church on a Sunday morning. And against all odds, you made it. Praise the Lord. And I just here to tell you that is the type of faithfulness that happens when you are faithful. Praise the Lord. That's how God repays that. And so that's part of that blessing. What you saw tonight was that faithfulness to obey the voice of the Holy Ghost. And so that's a lesson to us all, that we obey the voice of the Holy Ghost, and he'll take us to places that will bless us. Amen? That will increase us. And it won't make any sense sometimes. Sometimes it'll be out of the blue. But isn't that the way God is? Praise the Lord. He's given us promises and he will fulfill it. Praise the Lord. So that's free, no charge. Glory to God. But and actually it goes along with the sermon. I didn't think of it until right now. But praise the Lord. Tonight's sermon is called Bearing True Fruit. Praise the Lord. Bearing True Fruit. We want to, you know, the Bible tells us that as the people of God, we should be fruit bearers. You know, we look back there in Genesis, and one of the first commands that God gave man was to be fruitful and multiply. Amen. Be fruitful and multiply. Now, that word fruitful, we can look at it a lot of different ways. But tonight, we're not talking about it just the way that we always do, or that the way a lot maybe everybody does. But we're talking about bearing fruit for Christ tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, following God's plan for your life and the things that you walk into are bearing fruit for God's life. Or for God's will, amen, if you're following him. In fact, you can move into a job or a home or all these things, and God can open doors, praise the Lord, to bear fruit according to the way that he wanted to. Of course, I always think about my brother and sister, John and Liz, here. Glory to God. But, you know, the Lord moved us into this house at 349 Price Street in Jamestown, New York, many years ago. And we weren't quite sure. My wife was sure. I wasn't quite sure if this was the place God had for us, and there was a lot of toiling, but there was a lot of things I had to learn in that process, and I thank God that I did. But one of the greatest things is that God moved us across the street from John and Liz, and John and Liz would not be sitting here today being faithful like they are, praise the Lord, at least in this church, if it wasn't for God, us following God's plan for our life. And so we know that that's fruit, amen. You know, they're some of the most faithful people that we have in the church. The church is, hallelujah, not just one church, but the church is, and that just shows you that's an example of God's fruit, amen? And this is the kind of fruit that we as Christians should always be bearing. We have to understand that our lives are intermingled with all kinds of things. And so maybe it's a job that you get, but God will use that to bless other people. Maybe it's a house that you buy, but God will use that to bless other people. And so there's a lot of people out there that like to say that God isn't, he doesn't care about your house, he doesn't care about your car, he doesn't care about this and that. But see, that's not the truth, because he does, amen? He does care about those things, because those things are always attached to other people. Amen. And when you follow God's plan, there's always fruit attached to that. What do we mean by fruit? Amen. Well, that's a good question. What we mean by fruit is what is produced from something that is growing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Fruit is the thing that everybody enjoys. Fruit is the thing that's desired. Amen. An apple tree wouldn't be much good unless it had fruit on it. Amen. Otherwise, it's just a tree. Glory to God. And they don't grow big enough to really make lumber. I mean, I've seen lumber made out of apple trees, and it's quite pretty, but it's not big enough, you know, and praise God. But you think about, let's take, a palm tree that grows coconuts. There's no lumber to be had in them. In fact, without a palm tree, they're pretty much worthless without coconuts. Or without coconuts, a palm tree is pretty much worthless. Amen. Why? Because the coconut is the fruit of the palm tree. And so just as everything in life produces fruit, glory to God, we are meant to produce fruit. God has intended us to produce fruit. In fact, we're going to see tonight that it's not just in his intent, but it is a requirement of Christians to be producing fruit. This is why Christians, that I always say that Christians that don't go to church or Christians that want to do their own thing or Christians that are just involved in their own life, this is why those Christians, I have to question whether or not they're really Christians at all. Amen. Now, I'm not judging someone's heart, but I am just telling you, and we're going to see this tonight, but Jesus said, hallelujah, Jesus said that you will know them by the fruit. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so you can say anything you want. You can tell me all day long that that's an apple tree. But if I walk up to it and there ain't no apples and there's never any apples, I'm going to tell you, you're probably wrong. Amen. Well, the same thing goes with Christianity. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to open the word. Praise God. I'm going to turn there even though I don't have the amplified in this Bible. Praise the Lord. I have it in other Bibles. But we're going to turn to Ephesians 2:10. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to read it up here along with you. For we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship. Praise the Lord. Recreated in Christ Jesus. I love that. Recreated. It says recreated there. I love that. Why? Because you're already born. When you come to Christ, when you get born again, you've been recreated. That means there's a new being, a new thing on the inside of you. It doesn't matter. Old things have passed away. It doesn't matter what you were before. It doesn't matter how talented you were. None of this stuff matters. All that matters is what you are now. Amen? Recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined or planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. Praise the Lord. So we see here that we are His workmanship, His handiwork. God has created us to flourish. He's created us to bear much fruit. God was not okay with us living a beat down, broken life. God wanted us to live a good life, a full life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we understand this, that it comes through a process of time, that there are things that we have to do. Amen. And there are things that we have to walk out. But we know this, as we stay faithful to God, He is faithful to us, and He has created us to bear much fruit. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know this. I know that God is going to bear fruit in my life. And how do I know? It's because I've seen it already. I knew first because the Word said it, but I've seen it happening more and more and more. Amen. My wife and I were talking about some friends of ours in the ministry, praise the Lord, and on the way up here even. And we were talking about some different situations, but we've seen how God has moved them further and further into His blessing as they follow Him. Yeah. It's not a matter of being in the ministry. We're all in the ministry. Yeah. Praise the Lord. But you know, that's why a lot of Christians that sit in the seats, they don't see it. Because they haven't got that revelation that they're just as much in the ministry as the pastor is. I said, they haven't realized that. And see, when we don't realize our place, when we forget our place, then we're going to have a hard time bearing the fruit that God's intended us to. In fact, we won't bear it because we haven't connected to where God has us connected. Amen? We have to realize that we are all called to ministry, every single one of us. It doesn't matter what you, it doesn't mean you're all going to preach. Amen? We know this, but it means we're all called to ministry. And some people, God will call on to preach, even though that they wasn't necessarily the thing, because other people give it up. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God has created us in Christ Jesus that we may do those good works which He predestined. Amen. But we also know here by reading this that He predestined works for us, but we also should, praise the Lord, find there's paths for us to walk. Amen. That we should walk in them. And He's also intended us to live a good life which He prearranged, made ready for us to live. The life that God has intended us to live has already been made ready. See, most people are looking for life and they're looking in the wrong place because they're looking at the thing. They're not looking at the author, the one who already made that life, who's already made it. It's ready for you. You're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you. And so we have to understand this, that as we walk this life out, we look less and less at the things that are seen and more at the things that are unseen. What are those things that are unseen? By faith, we look into the future and say, God, you're blessing me right now. Amen. Now, there's some things, you know, I was as I was coming down here, praise the Lord, I was coming down to church tonight, and I was seeing just some things, not a vision, but just in my stirring in me, because I knew that God has good things for me. So I just started seeing things in my future. Did you know you can do that? You don't have to have a vision to see your future. You just have to have vision. Praise the Lord. I said, you don't need to have a vision. You just need to have vision. Praise the Lord. You need to open your eyes to what the Word said. Because when you open your eyes to what the Word says, then you can see things even though they don't exist. And the Bible calls that faith. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that that's what faith is, to call those things that be not as though they were, because that's what God did. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, have the faith of God. Have faith in God, but have the faith of God. Praise the Lord. We know that it's saying the same thing. That's what God is trying to get over to us, that we need to have that creative faith on the inside of us. Amen. We need to have vision. We need to be able to look to fruit. Amen. Praise the Lord. What would happen if you started looking at people like they were saved? Oh, you're going to treat them different. What would happen if you start looking at your situation as though it's freed? What would happen if you start looking at your finances as though it's paid? What would happen if you started looking at your health as though you're healed? Praise God. See, this is where the realm of faith is. And this is where we can miss it or we can get on it. But God has intended us to bear fruit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And like I was starting to say, and this is really exciting, but everything we do in life, should be connected to everything that God has us do. Praise God. Hallelujah. Your finances, your jobs, your houses, your family. Praise the Lord. Even the number of kids you have. Now, you know, some of us are past having kids. We got a couple that aren't. Praise the Lord. But even all that, it's all attached to what God has us doing. Amen. It has our future, the people that we marry, the people we are befriend. All these things all matter to what God has for us to do. And so that's why we need to follow God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I was seeking God this afternoon, and I've just been in this thing. You know, I've said it a lot in this church and other churches, but God has just been leading me so much to just learn to trust Him with everything. Praise the Lord. What does trusting Him mean? It means I take my hands off it and I'll let Him figure it out. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to share with you Matthew 3:8 in the Amplified. Again, another Amplified verse. Praise God, hallelujah. Bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. Let your lives prove your change of heart. Amen. This is a command to us to bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. Or in other words, we are to let our lives prove your change of heart. Glory to God. We are to let our lives are supposed to prove who we are. You know, I wrote this in my Bible, Lord, let them see you through me. And in fact, we understand this, that the world is going to see God because they can't. The world doesn't know how to use faith. Does anyone know that? That the world doesn't know how to use faith. They don't know how to believe in God. They don't know how to trust God. They don't know how to let it all go, praise the Lord. But you want to know something else? A lot of Christians don't know how to believe God. A lot of Christians don't know how to see God. A lot of Christians are thinking God is something that He's not, and so they're not seeing Him the way that He is. And when they're not seeing Him the way that He is, they're certainly not going to show the world the way that He is. And we are the ones that are supposed to be the reflection of our Heavenly Father. In fact, we're told over and over in Scripture that we need to walk as Jesus walked. We need to do the things He did. If we are not, we are His body. So if they're not seeing us do what God has us to do, then they're not seeing Christ. And that is all bearing fruit. When you lay hands on somebody, when you believe God to lay hands on somebody, you lay hands on them, and maybe they were sick, and then they recover. That is bearing fruit. Amen. Praise the Lord. When you talking to a coworker and they don't know what to do with their life, they're at a place where they're lost, and all of a sudden, praise the Lord, you invite them into church, and they come to church and their lives start changing. Guess what? That's fruit. Praise the Lord. Or when somebody's driving by and they see our sign that says God works on Saturdays too, and they come inside, praise the Lord, and they start coming and they start growing and their lives start changing. Praise the Lord. And we can even get Baptists full of the Holy Ghost, praise the Lord, in these churches. Praise the Lord. And when these things happen, glory to God, that is bearing fruit. See, bearing fruit is so much more than just what we get. Bearing fruit is who we are. Bearing fruit is what we should be doing all the time. Bearing fruit is something that should be a reflection direction of our lives. And how do others bear fruit? We get others to bear fruit by showing them the good fruit that we produce. And when we produce good fruit, other people will produce it, and then God is glorified. God is magnified. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me to John 15. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I know this word is going to help you tonight. Praise God. It's going to help you look at things differently. John 15, 1. When we look at things the way that God has us look at things, things change. Amen. That's why I was saying I look at a situation and I started smiling because I didn't look at it the way that I normally see it. I looked at it through the eyes of the Lord. What's the eyes of the Lord say? Well, he's got good things for me. Yeah. Jeremiah 29, 11, good plan. And I know that I'm in his plan. I know that I'm following his path. And I'm doing my best to seek him. And just because I know that, just because I know that, I know that whatever that situation is that rises, it works out. Amen. And so I don't worry about it. I don't touch it. Amen. I'm not saying I never have or I never do. Sometimes I do. But I was just saying tonight as I was driving here, I was smiling on the inside about some things. I mean, when I say I was smiling on the inside, I'm not talking about how some people praise. What I mean is I started, you know, when you can start getting that glow on the inside of you, when you start feeling it on the inside, you're like, glory to God. Hallelujah. You just know that God's going to change something. You know that God's working. You just know it. Something's about to happen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, that happened right before I started really serving God. When I was in my early 20s, before I really rededicated my life, but it was really, I mean, I prayed the salvation prayer, but I had gotten saved when I was 14, but fell away quickly, and I didn't come back to my early 20s, and that's when I really came to the Lord. But when I did that, you know, I remember I was working in this factory and you know, people knew me as kind of a screwball and goofy, did a lot of things, you know. Back in that time period, you know, I dyed my hair, painted my nails, all these kinds of things. I had piercings all over my head, you know, all these things. And glory to God. I remember it was in July, actually, right about this time of year. We were about to go on we had like a week break around July 4th. We were about to go on this break, and I don't know what it was. I know now it was the Holy Ghost, but I started telling people, I was like, I'm going to come back different. Something's changing. Now, you got to understand, I was living like the devil. Amen. I wasn't living for God at all. And sure enough, it was in that week, praise the Lord, that I got rededicated my life. And I came back different. I came back filled with something. Amen. And praise the Lord. And that's because God started stirring something on the inside of me. But I knew, I just was like, there was something on the inside of me that told me, man, something's different. Something's about to be different. You ever get that inkling? Praise the Lord. You've been given the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. I'm just going to tell you, when you start feeling something, I mean, you start rejoicing about it. Amen. Because that means something's coming. Well, praise the Lord. John 15, 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Glory to God. What do we know about vines? Vines feed whatever's at the end of the vine. So if there's grapes, praise the Lord, at the end, the grapes get fed through the vine. Not attached to the vine, the grapes are no good. Not attached to the vine, the branches, they don't last. Praise God. Hallelujah. But we see this, that the Father is the vine dresser. Amen. Well, one thing, if you don't know anything about vine dressers, they don't just let vines grow wild and wonky and just let them go any way they want. They get in there and they arrange them in certain ways. They cut them in certain ways. They wrap them in certain ways so they produce the most fruit. In fact, up in our area, you know, where we live, there's a lot of grape growing. And every once in a while, actually, a lot of places you'll find, actually, my field, I've got some grapevines that started growing back there. Now, here's the thing. They produce barely any fruit, if any at all. And the reason is because they're just wild. They're just growing. And they aren't tended to. But when you put a vine dresser, somebody to work it, they can help it so it produces the most amount that it's supposed to. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so that's what a vine dresser does. They produce, they clip, they prune the vines so they produce more fruit. Why? Because a vine that isn't producing fruit is worthless. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Notice this, that Jesus is a true vine. But notice what I just said, that a vine that does not produce fruit is worthless. Well, the work of the Lord does not get done unless the vine, the branches are producing fruit. It's not the vine that produces the fruit. It's the branches that produce the fruit. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So we see this. First of all, he said in me, every branch in me. Now, this is really interesting. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. So God gets rid of branches that don't bear fruit. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. A lot of churches wouldn't want to preach this, but here's the word of God. I said, here's the word of God. Amen. Every branch that produces nothing, he takes away. What if the whole church isn't producing anything? People wonder why churches are dying. I'm just telling you the truth. If you preach the word, if you're doing what God has called you to do and you preach the word, your church will die. Churches don't die when they're being fed. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. If a church dries up and dies, it is not because the people. It's not because kids just don't want to come to church anymore. It's not because the people. It's because they're not getting fed. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Every branch that bears fruit, this is another important part, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Well, glory to God. Sometimes we're going through life. We're living lives of good Christians. We're doing the work of the Lord. We're doing all that we should. And then all of a sudden we come up against some kind of snag. We come up against something. And something's got to get cut off. Yeah. We don't always like that, do we? Getting cut isn't fun, is it? But God prunes that it may bear more fruit. Amen. Sometimes the Lord will allow you to go through something just a little bit. Just to get you to bear more fruit. Yeah. I am so thankful that God didn't just give us everything. Because you know what? I'm just going to tell you, you know, this is something that's easy to see. But people who get everything that they want, kids that grow up and get everything that they want, they never learn how to do things the way God, the way they're supposed to. They're people who can't support themselves. Praise the Lord. They're people who don't know. And that's sometimes because we love our kids. That's what we do. Right? We dote on them and stuff like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we have to understand that there's a time sometimes where you got to cut it loose and let them kind of go through that growing pains. Amen. In fact, one of the most difficult things as a parent I've learned is not in the baby stages, is not in the toddler stages, is not in the preteen stages, is not in the teen stages. The most difficult part of being a parent is in the place where you're releasing a child out into the world. And it's not because the children are bad, it's because, listen, this is a place where everything that you've put into them will either come to fruition or it will not. And so this is the proving ground, amen, of how well you've parented, amen. Praise God. But at the same time, you have to allow them to do that. You have to allow them to do that because if they don't, they'll never be able to walk on their own. That's the same as pruning. That's what God does with us. Sometimes God will allow you to hunger for a little while. I didn't say you'd go complete without. Didn't say he'd allow you to starve, but he'll allow you to hunger a little bit until you can learn the faithfulness. See, but what happens is a lot of Christians get frustrated in that proving ground. They get frustrated in that place where they're learning faithfulness, where they're learning how to trust God. See, if you're in a place where you're not everything is hunky-dory, if you're in a place where everything isn't just fully paid for, is there anybody in that place? I'm raising my hand because I'm there. Glory to God. Do you realize that that's a pruning process? You realize that if you've been faithful to God, if you've been bringing your tithe, if you bring your offering, if you're after God with your heart, do you realize that you will still go through that period of time? And it's a blessing of the Lord that he will allow you to go through that because what he builds in you is something much better, something that can't be taken away. Because brothers and sisters, once you've got faith that can't be moved, there is nothing the devil can keep from you. I said there is nothing the devil will be able to keep from you. There is no way that he can stop you. I am so thankful that as we've gone through, as we've learned how to pastor, as we have gone through this process of having churches. Praise God. God has taught us steps everywhere along the way. And when we started off, we couldn't do what we do now. But why could we do what we do now? Because God has pruned us. He's taught us things. He's learned us. Amen. We gotten to a place where, not saying that we know something, because we don't know anything. That's one thing I've learned is that the further I know or the more I think I know, the less I do know. Praise God. But what I do know is that I follow God more. And that's something that I do know. And that's something that's good to know. Amen. I don't have to figure it out. I just follow God. But God will build that trust in us. And that's what the pruning process is. Amen. The pruning process helps us produce more fruit. It helps us produce more fruit. Amen. When we first started, we couldn't barely deal with one church, much less two. Then when we first started two churches, we could barely deal with two churches. But you know something? God's pruned us, and now we're dealing well with two churches. Amen. We're just doing all the things that come in. And there's lots of things, and I'm not talking down about the ministry, but there's lots of things that will try to come against you in your walk. It doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're a pastor or not, because we're all in the ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter though. We learn to trust God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when you learn to trust God, you bear more fruit. Praise the Lord. You are already clean, he goes on to say, because of the word which I have spoken to you. Amen. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, of course, I'm not talking about me. I'm quoting Jesus here and saying this. But this is exactly, there's so many Christians that think that they can do it on their own. I love when I meet somebody that thinks they can do it all on their own. I don't love it. It's annoying. Praise the Lord. Because there's one thing I've learned as a pastor. Guess what? I can't do it on my own. I have to rely on other people. And I have to rely on the people that the Lord brings me. And so if those people are really good at what they do, or if they're really bad at what they do, it does not matter. That's what I have to do. I can't do it on my own. But that's why my faith can't be in them. It can't be in me. My faith has to be on God. And see, that's another thing. People who are self-sufficient, people who always feel like, oh, I just do it myself. Well, guess what? You're going to go through a pruning process. You've got to learn that you can't do it on your own. You've got to, and God will allow you to get to a place. I said, God will allow you to get to a place that really doesn't, that's really uncomfortable until you learn that it's him that you have to trust in. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I am the vine, you are the branches. He says it again. Don't think that Jesus repeated himself just because he wanted to be poetic. Jesus is repeating himself because he's trying to point out something. He is the vine, we are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. A lot of us will agree with that. But the other part that a lot of people don't agree with is the part that he just said. He was like, if you abide in him, in us, that we bear much fruit. Yeah. How do you know if somebody's abiding in Jesus? They bear much fruit. Yeah. Well, what's much fruit? Well, everything's paid, of course. They got $1 million in the bank, and they're driving a Lamborghini, and they have lots of gold rings, and you know, praise the Lord, a lot of people serving them. No, that's not what it says. What's the fruit that we are we working? Are we doing the work of the Lord? Yeah. See, so many people are waiting to do the work of the Lord. I'll wait. I'm going to give you an example. I'll wait to give until I have money. Right. You're trying to abide in yourself. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Do you believe God or not? Right. Right. Oh, well, I'll wait till I have more time until I start serving. I'll wait till this season or that season. No, I'll wait till I'm... No, you just do what you got to do. Whatever God's calling you do it when you're supposed to do it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You don't wait for it. Sometimes it's going to feel like pressure, but it doesn't matter. You do it anyways. Because you're not abiding in yourself. Praise the Lord. You're abiding in him. We need to abide in him so we produce much fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, if somebody can't look at your life and say, man, something has changed about them. Something is different about them. If you come into the church and you stay in the church and you look, I'm telling you right now, I'm dealing with this in Mayville. Praise the Lord. I've got people that have been with us, and not a lot of people, but I've got people that have been with us that aren't producing fruit. What do I mean? They haven't grown at all. Been with us years and haven't grown at all. Listen, that's not a good place to be. Praise the Lord. We need to grow. We need to be producing fruit. If we're not producing fruit, we will get removed. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you the truth. And that's not something that as a pastor I like to hear or I like to think about. But what that does tell me, though, is this. And when I first learned this concept, I'll tell you what it taught me. It taught me to bear fruit. Make sure I'm bearing fruit. Because I don't want to get removed. I don't want to be a worthless branch. I don't want to be the one that says, well, it's a, you ever notice that? Like, we got some bushes out here. Praise God. And when we first came in here, everything was really overgrown. And when I first came in here, I got out my hedge clippers, and these bushes were scraggly. They had these branches that had nothing on them, no leaves on them. And so what did I do? I went through and cut them all back. Now they're all flush or full and lush. You know why? Because I pruned it. Yeah. Amen. I took away that which wasn't producing, and what was producing produced more. Yeah. And that's the exact same way that we are. Amen. That's the way a local church will be. There will be people in a local church that will produce nothing at all. And so they'll get removed. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. People don't like to talk about this, but this is the truth. Amen. Praise God. Now, I believe this. Everyone we have here tonight, everyone we got here tonight is a fruit producer. I'm just letting you know. You're a fruit producer. So rejoice in what God wants to do in you because he's doing great things. Amen. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me, what Jesus is saying, if I can translate it with a modern translation, what Jesus is saying is if you don't produce fruit for God, you are worthless. Worthless. You are not worth your salvation. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. You are worthless to him. If you are not, if we are Christians and just get saved and never do anything, we are worthless to God. Well, praise the Lord. Why? Because you don't burn something. You ain't burning $100 bills, are you? No, what do? You go out and find sticks in the yard. You burn those. You cut down trees, even trees. Like, they don't just cut down nice trees and burn them. You know what I mean? They cut up the tops and the ends and stuff like that. They don't generally, or they cut up junk wood, what they consider junk wood, and burn it. But they don't cut up nice wood and burn it. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. Things that are valuable don't get burned. And he's the one that burns it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. I'm just going to tell you by these scriptures right here, if you are not producing fruit, you are worthless in the body of Christ. We have to produce fruit. And one of these ways, go back to verse 7, praise the Lord. One of these ways we do that, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, in other words, if you are connected to the vine and the vine is feeding you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. God is telling us that in him, when we follow him, that the things that we desire will be done for us when we ask because we are connected to the vine. And that's what the vine just can't help but produce good fruit. That's what it wants to do, unless it's a sick vine. But we know Jesus isn't a sick vine. Amen? He was the healing vine, so he couldn't be sick. Jesus wasn't the broken vine. Jesus wasn't the defeated vine. Jesus wasn't the vine that was left behind. He wasn't the 299 vine. Hallelujah. Jesus was the full, he was everything. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, aren't you glad for that? Amen? Thank you, Jesus, for not being a 299 vine. Amen. You know, sometimes I buy trees. I like to buy trees, and I always wait to the end of the year, you know, when they're just closing them out, you know. And then, but you don't get to pick of the ones you want. You just get what they have. And sometimes you get a few, amen. But it's not like you're going to go plant a forest doing that. You know what I mean? Or you might plant a forest over your life, but you'll never see it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to James 3. Praise God. Hallelujah. God wants us helped. He wants us producing fruit. It is not. It is a requirement of being a Christian that you produce fruit. Amen? I said it's a requirement. God is not okay with you sitting idly by not doing anything. He wants you to produce fruit. Say, well, what fruit am I supposed to produce? Well, you just follow God and he'll show you what fruit he wants you to produce. Amen? But I would gather this, and I'll say this because I've learned this, that God wants us to produce fruit in everybody say every. Every single area of our lives. There is no area in our lives that we are not supposed to produce fruit. Why? Because there is no area in our lives when you are born again, there is no area in your life that is exempt from God. And because it's not exempt from God, there's no area in your life that God doesn't want to use if he wants to use it. I said there's no area. And so that's why our finances have to be in order. That's why our health needs to be in order. That's the thing. If people understood that bearing fruit is also your health, that you living in health is actually something God needs you to do. Now, I'm not saying that if you a Christian who's unhealthy is going to get cut off and thrown into the fire. But what I'm saying is there's things you won't do for God. Praise the Lord. And it makes you less valuable because you're not producing fruit. Amen. God wants us producing fruit. Glory to God. We need to get this in our, we need to understand this so much so, because when the devil comes knocking and telling you that you can't do something, or that he's going to remove something from you, or that you're not going to get over this mountain or pass this impasse, or whatever it is. I'm talking about whatever the impasse is to you. It doesn't matter what it is. You pick something that hinders you, pick something that takes peace away from you, and that's your impasse. But the devil will put stuff there, and he'll put stuff before you and say, you'll never get beyond this. You'll never be able to grow further than this. And those are things that God wants to take care of. Those are areas where God wants you producing fruit in. What the devil is trying to do is get you out of faith, believing him that God's word isn't true, because as soon as he gets you to do that, then all of a sudden you backslide and you stop producing anything. God wants you producing fruit in every single area of your life. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But if you have bitter, James 3:14. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Ooh. Bitter envy and self-seeking. These are interesting things. Glory to God. Bitter envy and self-seeking. I was thinking recently, there was a person in the town that we live in. There was a person that was running for mayor. And this person isn't necessarily somebody that you would think would run for mayor or whatever. You know, it's not somebody that really seemed really, we'll just say somebody who would be good for running government. You know what I mean? We'll just say that much. And I don't know this person very well, but I know him enough to know that. So at any rate, they didn't win the election. You know what I mean? And they go on and they're trying to run for something else. Now I see him running for something else. And the thing about this that's interesting to me is that and the Lord brought this kind of up to me, this idea of what this is that this person is really just seeking an office. There's nothing that they're passionate about there. You know, and that's really what self-seeking. And now I'm not coming against this person saying this is a horrible person for doing this. This is the way of the world, folks. This is the way of the world, and it gets into the church too. I want this. I don't care if it's something that I'm not called to. See, what it is, it's somebody trying to bear fruit in an area that they're not called to bear fruit in. I've learned this because as a pastor, I've learned there's a lot of things that I can't do. The Lord won't let me do. There's certain business aspects and things like that he won't let me get into. I'm not allowed to get into politics. I know this is direction from God for me. Praise the Lord. And why is that? Because I'm not called to bear fruit in those areas. And see, this is why, and the reason I bring that up is because you see people doing this all the time. They're running and running and running for all these things, not just for office, they're running after things, amen? They're trying to obtain things, and in doing so, all they're doing is they're just running in circles trying to obtain things that they're never meant to. This is why people fail. Listen, if you follow God closely, you won't fail at anything. I said, if you follow God closely, you won't fail at anything. You won't fail at marriage. You won't pick the wrong one. If you follow God closely, you cannot pick the wrong spouse. It's an impossibility. And if you pick the wrong spouse, it's because you weren't following God closely. Praise the Lord. I know a lot about this, by the way. Praise God. You can do it wrong. Yeah, because not every woman was meant for me, and not every man was meant for you. If you're a woman, praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know what I mean? Not everybody is meant for each other. Not everybody has characteristics that intertwine or that work out. Listen, it doesn't just have to be because they were a bad person. Praise the Lord. Sometimes people will do things, they will choose spouses based on just the flesh, and if they don't get it right, if they don't follow God, well, praise God, that's free, no charge. But what I'm saying by saying all this is that if we follow God, we will choose right. If we don't follow God, then we will choose wrong. And then sometimes we'll eat the things that come with that. Amen. But we don't want bitter envy. What's bitter envy? It's wanting something. It's so desperately wanting something that somebody else has that you'll do anything to get it. This is where all this garbage socialism will take us. Just in case you didn't know it was garbage, I'm just going to tell you it's garbage. Garbage socialism will take you right down that. Why? Because it's other people envying what other people got. Yeah, that's all it is. I want what you have. I deserve what you have. Listen, you follow God, you'll have everything you need. This is what we need to teach people. We don't need to teach people to vote for somebody who's going to give them everything. That's garbage. It doesn't do any good for people. It doesn't do any good for humanity. But if we teach people how to follow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we will teach people how to walk in every blessing they'll ever need in their life. Amen. Glory to God. Well, the same idea has gotten into the church because somebody's looking at what some minister has or this other Christian has and says, oh, you shouldn't have that or you should be sharing that. Listen, it's not up to you to decide what other people have or what other people do with it. What's up to you is to do what you're supposed to do and then do what you're supposed to do. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're excited about that. And I don't say that as a joke. I mean, I'm serious. I can tell. It's the truth. Amen? Because God doesn't want us to be bitter into bitter envy and self-seeking. Actually, if we look at true, what the Word teaches us, what Jesus did, it says, no greater love that has anyone than this, that one will lay down their life for their friends. What is that? It's giving up everything for your friends. So that's self-seeking nothing. I said self-seeking nothing. Listen, I don't need the government to give me anything. I don't need to call on other taxpayers to come to get together and give me anything. What I need to do is follow God, and God will bring all that into my life. Now, He'll bring it through other people. God always does. But that's as people submit themselves to the Word of God and the will of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. 3:14. All right. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Wow, look at that. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing. Everybody say every evil thing. Are there. That's why you see. Why do you think in politics? Listen, I don't care what side of the coin you're on, it doesn't matter. Look at politics. Look how they are towards each other. And then what happens every once in a while? Somebody will come out, oh, so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did this. So-and-so cheated on their wife with this guy, or this one, or that one, or whatever. You know, so-and-so cheated on their spouse, or so-and-so, they embezzled money when they were preaching against it, or whatever. You know, I'm talking about people in politics. Why is that? Because there's bitter envy and self-seeking. Because people aren't really in it for themselves. Amen? It's just the truth. There's people that come against. I've seen politicians. They sit there and politicians will talk about, I'm not trying to get all political, but it's just the truth. Politicians will sit there and talk about, they'll come down on ministers for ministers being wealthy. This has actually happened, that they came down on some of the top ministers in the country, the top earners, and tried to come down on them for being wealthy. And every single one of them are wealthy. Yeah. Well, who are they to talk about? Who are they to decide? What? They're public servants too. You know what I'm saying? Like all of a sudden, like how do people get into office and they were poor and they get into office, they come out millionaires. Well, there's something to that, you understand? And why do I bring this stuff up? Because that's an area that we all know it, we see it in, is the political realm. But people do it and people get political in churches. Yeah, because, I want to be the pastor. I want to be this. I want to be that. I want to have this job or that job. Are you trying to bear fruit in somebody else's vineyard? Are you trying to bear fruit that you weren't supposed to bear? Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, if you're an apple tree, be darn happy that you're an apple tree and bear as many apples as you can. But if you see a friend that's a grapevine, I almost said grape bush, but they don't make grape bushes. But if you see a friend that's a grapevine, praise the Lord, let them be grapevines and produce grapes. Don't try to desire grapes. Like you can enjoy grapes, but you don't have to desire them. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Just walk in what God has called you to walk in, and you'll be good. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Now, if God's stirring something in your heart, that doesn't mean that you can't go after things. You understand. And that's something else. But we don't do it with bitter envy and self-seeking because that's where confusion happens. And every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first what? Pure, then peaceable, gentle. Look at this. Willing to yield. If you are a Christian who is not willing to yield to another brother and sister in Christ, you are not being a good Christian. Yield. Praise the Lord. How do you get over somebody who's acting snotty toward you? You yield. Yeah. Why? Because that's what Christ did. Yeah. Somebody who's being mean to you, you yield. Yeah. Well, you ain't got to be right. It doesn't matter. You know, obviously, if there's something that is like detrimental, it's going to cause harm or something like that, then something needs to be done about it. You know what I mean? But I'm just talking about in general, little things that don't matter. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so in other words, if you want the fruits of righteousness, if you want peace, then you've got to be a peacemaker. That's all there is to it. What do? You do everything at all costs to get peace. Husbands and wives, this is really good for us. How do you get, you yield to one another. You make peace in your home. You decide, I'm going to have peace in my home. My wife and I have decided we're going to have peace in our home at all costs. At all costs. So whatever doesn't cause peace is going to have to go. We have peace in our home. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And then it goes on to say, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? See, this is going back to that self-seeking. Amen? Praise God. It's going back and talking about that stuff. Amen? Praise the Lord. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desire for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive. Like, I got to jump to that real quick because a lot of times we focus on that. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. But you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. See, people can ask. They can ask God for things, but they're asking wrong. Well, if you're a Christian who spends your time praying on yourself and the things that you need, you're asking amiss. Yeah. I said you're asking amiss. The Bible has never told us to focus on ourselves. It's never told us to focus on what's ours. It has never told us to sit there and focus about paying your bills or all this stuff. The Bible tells us over and over and over we yield to other people's will. What do? We yield. We submit ourselves. We always are putting ourselves in a place where it's for others. It's for, you know what I'm saying? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so this is why people don't receive, because they ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. This is not saying that God does not want you to have nice things. It is not saying that God doesn't want to bless you with nice things, or that you shouldn't ask him for nice things. It's not saying any of that at all. What it's saying is that this is talking about Christians whose main motivation is self-preservation. You know what I mean? They're just trying to exist. We're just trying to get through. This is the trap the devil gets us into. He'll get us into poverty, and then he'll trap us in it. He'll keep us in poverty, because what he tells us all the time is, if you're not praying for this, or if you're not doing this, or you're not doing that, listen, you just follow the Lord. You do what the Bible says. You follow the Lord, and guess what? If you tithe, you give, and you follow God, you will never be poor. Amen. I said, you will never be poor. Amen. If you do those things. Now, if you spent your life, you know, if you're older and you spent your life not doing those things, well, you may have some catching up to do. There may be a process of time, but God will work it into you still. Amen? Why? Because that's what he does. God does not want his children poor. Praise the Lord. He wants you enjoying life. Adulterers, well, how far am I going there? Praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, verse 8. I'm going to verse 8. Let's see. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. How are we being a friend of the world when we're doing the same things the world does? We do them different. Why? Because we are blood-bought Christians. We don't do things the same way they do. I don't need the government to support me. Praise God. You know why? Because God does. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say, if somebody gets assistance for a while or something like that, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, I'm not looking to the government to support me. I'm not looking to the world to support me. I'm not looking to my neighbors to support me, my mother or my father to support me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The Lord does. Amen. Or do you think that Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Now, it's really interesting that this is put in there. And a lot of times we read over this, because this is really the heart of the matter here. What happens is people stop seeking God for him, and they're seeking God to fix it. Yeah. Fix this, Lord. Fix this. Whatever it is. Fix my marriage. Fix my friendship. Fix my life. Fix my whatever. This is what people... Listen, when you come into church, if that's the reason you come in to get fixed, there's nothing wrong with that. But the problem is when Christians stay in that mindset of... just fix it. What does the Bible say? He yearns jealously. Jealously. What does he want? He wants you. He wants you to focus on him. He doesn't want you to even focus on yourself. He said, look at me. Just look at me. Do you know what I learned? Like, the Lord was showing me this even this afternoon. As I just follow, as I look to him, he keeps telling me, trust me, trust me, trust me. This is what he keeps, this is the direction God keeps giving me. I'm asking God about all kinds of things and he keeps giving me one direction. Two words, trust me, trust me, trust me. What does trust look like? Well, when I'm trusting him, I'm not looking at other stuff. I'm just looking to him. And he says, do this and I do this. He says, do that and I do that. It doesn't look like it's going to work out. It doesn't look fruitful. We just made a huge financial decision. It looks like the worst decision you could possibly make in our shoes. But why do we make it? Because we're trusting God. Yes. Praise the Lord. And he's working it all out. Glory to God. It'll be a testimony. But we do that. This kind of stuff. We knew it when we were making it. We're like, well, listen, this is a matter of trusting God. Yeah. I said it's a matter of trusting God. Because we knew that God, this was the direction of the Lord for us. And because it was the direction, how do you know? Well, we have learned, we've started to learn how to follow God. That's what we're teaching people, is how to follow God. Follow the Spirit of God and you won't make bad decisions. You will make decisions other people think are bad, but we're not friends with the world. I'm friends with God. Hallelujah. I'm not friends with all that stuff. I'm not looking to the world to give me my answers. I'm looking to the Word. I'm looking to the Spirit to give me answers. And then as we do it, guess what? And even if we miss it, even if we miss it, you can miss it, you know. Just in case you didn't know. Even if you miss it, but your heart is right, God will make it up. How do we know that? Because he said to trust him. And he said he's given us his Spirit, and that's the way he was going to talk to us. He wasn't going to appear before us and stand there and talk to us every day. He said he was given us his Spirit, and he said, follow my Spirit. So if we do the things he's told us to do, and we follow his Spirit, even if we miss it, God will make it up. Why? Because his goal is that you bear much fruit. And his goal is that you trust him. And you see, trusting him says that even if you miss it, you're imperfect. He knows that. But you're following him. He don't care. Oh, take care of it. We'll take care of it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He does every single time. Because this is what God does. God wants us to bear much fruit. Yeah. Listen, if we're constantly just sitting there like trying to be a good Christian, and we're constantly failing and never bearing any fruit, it still does God no good. That's why he's got to cover it. He just says, trust me. I don't know what to do, God. Trust me. Beginning of James, it says, anyone who lacks wisdom, ask him, let him ask or her ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach. He doesn't, like, you don't know what to do, just ask God. What do I do about this, Lord? You know what he probably say to you? Trust me. Trust me? That's what he's been telling me. Trust me. God, what do I do about this in the churches? Trust me. All right, I'll just do what I know to do, because that's what we do, and then trust him. But it doesn't look like, it doesn't need to look like it. All I need to do is trust him, because he always looks like it. God always looks like the winner. Amen? Why? Because he's always the winner. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Praise the Lord. When Aaron probably woke up that Sunday morning, that's what he was doing, whether he knew it or not, was just trusting God. Now, I'm not saying Aaron's perfect. Praise the Lord. He's pretty good. Praise the Lord. Melissa thinks he's perfect, which is good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But my point is this. That's a perfect example. When you know to do good and you do it, God will bless you. And that's what the Bible has called us to. Just do what you know to do that's good at the moment. Well, what about this and this? You don't worry about this and this, because when it comes time to deal with this and that, you'll have direction to do that. Amen? That's how I walk through life. You know, most of what I do, I have no idea what's going to happen at the end of it. Glory to God. I come to church now, I don't know what I'm going to say other than I got some scriptures I'm going to read. I don't know what all this is going to come out as. Praise the Lord. But the direction is always there because God is good. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where are we? Verse 5. Praise the Lord. Or do you think that scripture says in vain that the Spirit dwells in us, yearns jealously? But he gives more grace. Therefore, and remember, grace is his ability, amen? He gives more grace. Therefore, he said, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, see, all this is tied together. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? The temptation to live like the world. The temptation to get into fear. The temptation to go to miss church because you got to work those extra hours because you got to pay your bills. Praise the Lord. Draw near to God, it says. Well, praise the Lord. Submit to God first, it says. Submit to God. Submit yourself to God. Lord, I'll just do your will. I'll do just what you tell me to do, no more, no less. That's it. Jesus said it is not burdensome to do the commandments of God. It is not burdensome to follow God. He said, take upon you my yoke. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm not going to put anything on you that's difficult. Christians, God is going to put nothing on us that's heavy. If it's heavy, it's not of God. If it's heavy, it's not of God. Now, maybe you disobeying God can make it feel heavy. But if it's heavy, it's not of God. He's not going to burden you down. He's not going to weigh you down. Why? Because God wants you living in peace and freedom. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I know God don't put any more on me than I can handle. People say that when everything's bad. That's not what God doesn't put anything on you. He just said, follow me. What did Jesus say to the disciples? He's like, oh, you got to go out, do this, this, and this, and maybe I'll help. No, he said, follow me. Yeah, that's his words, two words, follow me. What's that saying? Trust me. In order to follow him, they had to trust him. See, over and over in Scripture, trust God and do good. Trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It's not hard. Amen. It's not hard if we know our God. Praise the Lord. Verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Plain and simple. If you draw near to God, listen, drawing near to God is not getting on your knees and praying, Lord, help me with this thing. You know what it's doing? It's like in the midst of everything. Absolute chaos and hell breaking loose in your life. It's you getting on your knees and going, Lord, I love you so much. You've never left me nor forsaken me. You take care of me every day of my life. You make me bear much fruit. That's repeating to God that you trust him. Why? Because you're repeating what he said. Amen. But see, what do we do? Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Lord, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do? What's that saying is, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I don't trust you. Lord, how can we get beyond this? I don't trust you. I mean, literally, what would it be like if you went to God? Think about it. This is going to rock your senses. Hallelujah. This is going to rock everything that's on the inside of you. But what if you went to God and you had the most need? You're life or death. We're talking, you're up against it. Life or death, and you go before God, and the only words that come out of your mouth are, Lord, I praise you because you're so good. I love you, Lord, because you're so... Didn't ask him for nothing. Didn't call on him. All I'm doing is just telling God how good. I'll tell you what, you'd see the end of your problem a lot quicker because it shows that you trust him. That's what it's all about. He's bringing us to a point where we trust him, period. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Many people are trying to bear the fruit that is not theirs. And this is why they always get into these problems. Because they're following things. They're just following the fruit. They're following the answers and not following God. I hope you're seeing the difference. There's a difference between seeking the answer and seeking God. God is always the answer. So we don't seek the answer of the problem. Lord, how do I get through this? No. I just seek Lord. I follow God. Why? Because he promised that if we follow him, he'll lead us. And so we don't have to ask because he knows where we're at. He knows the trial that we're facing. He knows the things that are coming against us. What does he say? He doesn't give us the answers because it's not up to us to solve the problem. You are trying to solve problems you weren't meant to solve. God is the problem solver. And because God is the problem solver, if we follow him, he works it to why he doesn't even want you working to solve the problem. He doesn't want you figuring it out. It's not meant for you. He just wants you to notice him. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I love the word righteousness. It means the state of him who is as he ought to be. Righteousness, the condition acceptable to God. The state of him who is as he ought to be. That's all it is to be righteous. Are you in the place God calls you? Righteous. Are you doing the things God's called you to? Righteous. Are you following the Lord the best you know how? Righteous. Do you trust in the Lord? Righteous. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? Right, we make righteousness this thing like, oh, I've got to attain this level. Maybe if I get to priesthood or something like that, or if I become a pastor, if I do this or have this many outreaches, just follow him. It's just following him. When we bear fruit is when we just simply follow him. You ain't even got to know the fruit that you got to bear. Listen, this is answering questions for me as I'm preaching it. Glory to God. You ain't got to even know the fruit you got to bear. You just got to do what he told you to do. You just follow him. All of a sudden, there'll be a door open to you. Follow him through it. Praise the Lord. All of a sudden, there'll be a pathway before you. Follow him to it. Glory to God. Sometimes there'll be a big stinking stop sign right there in front of you. Don't burst through it. I don't care how bad you want it. Why? Because God isn't in it. If there's a stop sign, he says, don't go. Don't do it. Don't go any further. Praise God. I wish I knew this when I was 20 years old. I wish I understood this when I was 16 years old. I wouldn't have made some of the stupid decisions I had made if I had known this teaching. Just follow God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. John 8:29 says, Jesus said, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. How did Jesus know that? Because he learned God. He learned how to follow God. How did he do that? He got acquainted with the Word. He was the Word. But he got acquainted with the Word. He got acquainted with the Holy Spirit. He learned to follow God. God's going to put something on your heart that will make no sense, but you know it's God. I said God will put little things on your heart that make no sense, but you'll know it's God. How will you know it's God? Because you didn't come up with it on your own. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. There has never been one time my flesh has said, give into that offering. There has never been one time where my flesh said, give that money to that person. Never. My flesh don't tell me to do that. Why? Because my flesh says to pocket it or spend it on myself. But the Holy Spirit will. So you're going to have to step out when he shows you to do something. Maybe he's going to say, bless somebody. Maybe he's going to say, volunteer for this or that. Maybe he's going to say that you're going to whatever, go over here, not leave your spouse or anything like that. You know, the Lord isn't telling you to do that. Praise the Lord. Unless your spouse is really bad or something, abusive or something like that. Amen. For I always do those things that please him. And what did he say? And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. People say that Christianity isn't about works, but I say that anybody who says that doesn't know what Christianity is. They didn't talk to Jesus. Jesus just said, I always do the things, those are works that please him, the things he shows me to do. And because of that, he hasn't left me. And so if you're doing the things that please God, this is great stuff here. This is really difficult, so I want you to listen to me. If you're not doing the things that please God, he is not with you. So if God is not with you, do the things that please him, and he will be. It's that simple. And so if you're doing the things that please him, and it looks like it, you don't worry about what it looks like. You just say, I'm just following God. Because it doesn't matter what it looks like. It never matters what it looks like. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Oh, I got to close, don't I? Praise the Lord. Boy, I can't get into all the scriptures. Praise the Lord. We're gonna go to just a few more scriptures. Cutting a bunch out, you know. But praise God for it. It's good stuff, though. I think you're getting the gist of what we're talking about here. Like I said, I know I'm getting helped. Man, I'm telling you, God is good. Turn with me to Matthew 7:17 real quick. Matthew 7:17. That's the beginning of Matthew. There it is, 7:17. Praise God. Jesus said here, even so, every good tree bears good fruit. Every good tree. He didn't say one of them, few of them. He didn't say just some of the ones that the Lord picked out. He said every tree, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Oh, man, that we get a hold of that. If you're a good tree, you can't bear bad fruit. Why? God won't let you. So even if you miss it, if you're a good tree, he ain't going to let you bear bad fruit. Listen. He'll help you. You follow him, he'll help you. He will not let... Well, I'm afraid to do this. Are you a good tree or a bad tree? I'm a good tree. So what does that tell me? I cannot bear bad fruit. Because I'm a good tree. How do you know you're a good tree? Because I do the best that I can to follow God. I have accepted Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I do everything in me to follow God. The best that I can. Therefore, I'm a good tree. Why? Because I'm in the state as I ought to be.
That's right.
The place where God has me to be. Amen? I'm righteous, not by myself. I'm not self-righteous. Praise the Lord. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. You will. It's real simple. What kind of fruit are they producing? Amen? Well, praise God. We're going to close with Philippians 1:6. Paul said, being confident of this very thing. Being confident. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You got to be confident. How are you confident? Well, you just be confident. When you know that you're following God, then you be confident. You don't let anyone take that from you. I'm following God. Period. Glory to God. Don't let the devil take it from you. I'm following God. I'm doing what I know to do. Praise the Lord. I showed up in Mayville Sunday morning. Pray. Why? Because he's following God. Same example. Amen. That's just the example. Praise the Lord. Being confident is the very thing that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does this tell you? That the work that's being done in us is not what we are doing, but is what God is doing as we follow him. When we follow him, he does a good work in us, and he works all the details out. He works all those little things that get you to not do right. He'll work them out. Praise the Lord. If you follow Jesus, if you follow the Holy Spirit, amen? Praise the Lord. Yield to him. Let him bring it to pass. And I'm just going to tell you, we're going to get into the scripture tomorrow, but Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, meditate, if you're here in this church tonight, meditate on those scriptures. Find out what God is saying by them. Meditate on them. Get them in you. That's what it is. Yield to him. Praise the Lord. Let him bring it. I said, let God bring it to pass. You ain't got to bring it to pass, so stop trying. Just do what he has you to do, and God will cause the fruit to come. Amen.